coming up, and you're looking forward to sleepless nights.
The thing is, like, Ivy has turned into this huge daddy's girl in just, like, the last couple days.
Really?
Like, I'm talking massive. Like,
wow.
She used to, like, never even want me to come home because she wanted a nanny. Well, now she cries when I leave.
Wow.
And if I come home, I mean, she's there. Yeah. Like, she runs up to me, jumps in my arms, and so it was. She's all about daddy right now.
Yeah,
and she's all about waking up at 2 o'clock.
Oh my goodness!
Last night,
I told several people this before, but I said, yeah. They said, why didn't y'all ever have another one? You would think, you know, I was 19, Rachel was 18, we'd probably have another kid or two. I said, well, I think Maddie was such a great baby. We were scared to have another one. I mean, because after a month old, and she yeah. slept through the night.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you think, man, I don't know if I should wake them up or whatever. And we had a few people say, listen, when they're hungry, they'll wake up, all right? You ain't got to worry about that. So, no, I always say how the Lord blessed me in that situation like that. I'll tell you that. So.
Yeah, she never went back to sleep. So Heather took her about 4:50, 4:55 or something like that last night, and I tried to go back to sleep.
Yeah,
but it never really went fully back to sleep.
I got you.
So.
I got you.
So if I say something off the wall or silly, like call some, I already said a name that there's not even a name around here like that, and so they were like, I haven't heard that name for a while. I was like, I haven't either.
I would say around here, normally with family and you guys and everything, I know, but I know the names of everybody. But when you said a name, it's one of them things you're just sitting there still, and you said a name, I was like, what? Who's that one?
Me neither.
That's all right. But no, it's all good, man. It's all good. But I'm thankful to be here again today. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good.
That sounds all awesome.
I'm good.
What about Ethan? Is he all right this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. The shofar, for some reason, did not play this morning. The guy, he overslept, and the guy that played the shofar, his two-year-old got up early, too.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I apologize.
Because normally that's when me and Hannah know that's our cue to get our earphones on and get ready and everything, but then all of a sudden... So we didn't get
Whoa. It is not Hannah's cue. She ain't even in here for the
blessing. Hang on a minute. I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt, brother. Come on. Only me, you, and the Lord know that. I mean, everybody on the radio don't have to know that.
She don't have to have any cue to get ready. She just walks in. We've already started.
Man. I'm sorry, Hannah. I'm trying to defend you here a little bit here this morning. I'm waking Aaron up. Is what's happening. We're waking Aaron up.
I've done better about getting here on.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So, yes, you have. And then that week that Brother Aaron wasn't here, he was always right here. So, it's awesome.
And the week he came back, he didn't know what to do with himself.
Man, oh, man. But,
slowly faded a little bit, but getting back.
But
I was pushing this morning. I was like, I'm going to stay in this bed until I have to get up and move.
Yeah,
and
right.
So, but it's good. It's good to be with you guys. I know I'll wake up, and don't judge me. I have a Mountain Dew this morning. I've been doing pretty good about what I've been drinking, but this morning I don't drink coffee, so this is about and I am not drinking energy drinks. I just have this thing. I've drank like one or two my whole life, and I'm just not doing it. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think I've drank maybe one energy drink, but I mean, that ain't what I do either.
Yeah, I just don't like
it. It just has a lot of caffeine in it.
Yep. Yeah. So, did you ever get hooked on them? Energy drinks or not? No.
So. I've tried. There's these ones called Alani, and they said that they're supposed to be better for you, but they still have a lot of caffeine. So I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'll stick to my coffee. Good
Me
old
too.
Trusty.
Good old coffee.
Natural beans.
Yep, that's it. Now, do you drink, I ain't asked you this before, but you drink black coffee ever? No way.
Yeah,
you
do? I do like it.
Well,
but. Nice. I go through seasons. Like in the winter, I like to drink black coffee more because I'm cold.
Yeah.
But if it's hot or summertime, I just want iced coffee.
So. I got you.
I know her and Heather's ever drink coffee at the house, if their creamer don't have six names to it, they're not drinking it.
I got you. So you mean Heather drinks coffee, but why? I mean, when are you going to get on board with the coffee stuff?
I just don't know. Like, I don't know.
I hear you.
I don't think I am.
Oh, man. All right.
I'm trying to get on board with green food.
With what? Green food? Yeah, that'd be good.
I had a smoothie Sunday morning, and it was disgusting. But Heather said I made it wrong.
Because it was – whoa, whoa, whoa. We went from green food to smoothie. How do we do that?
That's healthy.
But it was a green smoothie or what?
Well, no. There was raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, and strawberry.
Okay.
Mixed in there. And then I had the Greek yogurt, unsweetened almond milk, and chai leaves or something. What is it? Chai seeds. Chai seeds? Yeah, Chinese seeds? I don't know.
I don't know.
You should have put spinach in it, like the listener said, and not be able to taste it.
I have the spinach leaves. I'm going to try it one day.
Maya, hey, I don't know why my wife is already chiming in this morning, but seeds, from time to time, I drink black coffee as well.
Uh-huh.
And she says, people that drink black coffee are just trying to show off a little bit, LOL. Showing how strong they really are, right?
I can do it. It's just fun to have the other stuff in it.
Yeah, that's right. So I know when I go to Granny and Pepaw's, they all, and Vicky and all them, they all drink straight black coffee. When I say, where's the cream and sugar, they got to go looking everywhere for it because they just drink black coffee. So
I do agree with Miss Rachel. Yeah. I think people kind of flex. They push their cup out so you can see it. And then when you get cream, they look at you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what I was doing in my smoothie. I was walking around like, hey, look at my smoothie.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So
I just don't like the way coffee tastes. Yeah. I tried it. One time I was about 18 or 19 years old at the airport. I know I was 20.
Yeah.
Because I think I was 20 when I went to Africa. And it was when I was going to Africa. I was at the airport. First time I've ever been to an airport. And I seen all these sophisticated people. They looked really edumacated. So I was sitting there and I was thinking, man, they're drinking coffee. Like, if I'm going to be a big boy and go to Africa, I better drink coffee too.
Yeah.
So I went to Starbucks and bought a coffee at airport. I took two drinks.
Well,
and the thing went in the trash.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. Of course, I'll probably get a lot of pushback now that I say this, but Starbucks ain't my thing.
Yeah.
It just ain't. Like, black coffee at Starbucks, I mean, that's nothing. Mm-mm. Give me my donut shop, Great Value Donut Shop, over black coffee at Starbucks any day of the week.
The thing that I would used to get at Starbucks is their sweeter stuff.
Yes.
And you can't really taste their coffee when they put all the sweet stuff
right
in it. But, yeah, the actual
coffee versus coffee.
The actual coffee in it is not.
I just had a bad experience.
That's what I think, yeah.
16 mm-hmm. years ago.
That's, yeah, and you're still holding a grudge against coffee.
And that's without my beliefs about Starbucks, okay? That's just straight coffee, okay?
Right. I mean, we can go other ways than that, I know. But, I mean, coffee versus coffee, I just, you know, that's a thing I can't handle.
Now, have you had Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes. Yep. I like it pretty well.
Yeah, but it's better, I think.
I mean, we got it anyway, so I know we're on a coffee
Aaron,
kick.
Before we move on, what kind did you try? Was it black?
I don't remember. It had four names.
Because I go there.
Oh, it was probably not black.
Yeah. I go there and I get confused myself. I mean, my goodness, I've been drinking coffee for years, but I get confused when
maybe it's because I couldn't pronounce half the names I was ordering.
Rachel just said you need to let her fix you a cup of coffee one day, and she wants you to drink it.
All right, I'll make her deal.
Here you go.
She comes in here on Tuesday morning and be with us.
She can bring you coffee.
If she comes in here and comes on the radio with us on a Tuesday morning, she can bring me coffee.
Okay, all right. She heard that, so anyway.
There's your deal. There's your deal.
That's awesome. So,
people are waiting now.
Yep. So
people are always trying to get me to try stuff. I get people that sends me. I love them, too. Send them on.
Well, I tell her all the time. I said, you don't drink coffee. You drink sugar milk. It's what you drink.
Well, okay. I can roll with that. But I got two seats. I'm willing to deal. I'm horse trading here.
You're bartering this morning, right? Oh, man.
I'm preparing for the apocalypse.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm learning how to barter.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, we do have a couple of announcements. The Zachary Capps Tent Revival still going on through the 15th.
Yep.
And then we've got RVBS coming up in July 23rd. Miss Chrissy Spencer sent me a message last night over at Kingswood Wesleyan Church. Their Camp Awaken VBS starts on June 24th all the way through June 27th. It looks like the 24th, 25th, and 26th will be at 5 o'clock p.m. And the Saturday looks to be at 8. Whoops, I just hearted the message. So,
what's that one called? Awaken?
Yep, Camp Awaken VBS at Kingswood. All righty. And then if anybody else's churches have VBS is coming up and want us to announce them. Please get that information to us, and we'd be glad to get it out for you all. And then we've been talking about this a little bit, and I'll just relay it another time or two. Miss Renee is her mom is not is having some health issues, and so her current series is on pause. She just wanted to apologize to everybody that it's going to be reruns for a few weeks, but we do all need to come together and pray for her mother and join an agreement in prayer on that, and just believe God for a miracle. But Miss Renee, she just wanted to relate to all the listeners of that program on Monday and Sunday, I think they are. I think she's on Sunday and then Monday morning. And it's just on hold. So there'll be some reruns, and then she'll continue the series whenever her mom gets better. Yeah, so
that's good.
And then also June 23rd, there's a wild man preaching at Madrid. Not just in the morning, also in the evening.
Yeah, clarify that one, brother. No, I'm just taking it.
No, Jason Miller's going to be preaching at Madrid on June the 23rd at 6 o'clock p.m. Sure is. There. So
we got quite a bit of busy June going on. So, I mean, we're thankful for it because, of course, we've been, even though Brother Zach, the ministry that he has with the tent mate, we have been trying to go over there with him. And then, of course, got Father's Day coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then got a baby dedication coming up.
The 23rd.
So, anyway, it's we're excited for that. And also, I was going to give this out, Brother Aaron. Brother Lance,
mm-hmm.
he will be at Madrid on June 27th and June 28th.
Awesome.
So he's going to come back up and be there a couple of days. So
very good. Anyway. Very good. All right. Got a good month there at Madrid. And so we're trucking right along, just trucking.
That's it. Already almost half over with this year.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, it's amazing how that is. Like I've always said, you always hear these older people tell you, when you get, you'll realize. So some of that stuff, you're like, I don't know if I really, but when they said, as you get older, time flies quicker, well, I don't know why, but it does seem to me.
Maybe time flies quicker because we move so much slower.
Gotcha. Yeah. And we got to spend more hours getting the job done, so therefore by the end of the day, it's done bedtime, right?
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, I could play like 36 holes of golf easy in a day, and now by the time I'm done with 18, I'm like, oh, is that supposed to hurt? Is that?
Yeah.
That didn't hurt. Used to hurt. I know it didn't used to hurt. And the other day, I was sitting there, and I was trying to move some posts back at the ranch. We've been doing some cleanup, and post I used to be able to just lift up on my shoulder. I'm sitting here needing a pry bar to get it up off the ground and move it around, and I'm like, oh, this is getting bad. I'm not even 40 yet, and my body's decrepit at a rapid rate. So maybe
it's time to start lifting.
I'm trying. That's my problem. I can't. that's slow time. Miss Lisa asked if Lance is going to be there fast time or slow time. That'd be slow time.
That'd be slow time starting at 6:30. Starting at 6:30 those nights. So, yep.
Alrighty. Well, I guess we're going into the book of Daniel. No, James. James.
Tricked you. Just a test.
Psych. You remember we used to say that, Josh?
Huh?
Remember we used to say that?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Hannah's too young for that.
Too young
for
that.
No, I remember.
You do remember that one, too. She remembers.
It lingered a little while.
I got you.
That one had some life to it. All right, here we go. James chapter 1. We got through James 1:1 yesterday, but we did establish a lot about him being the brother. And at one time, the brothers did not believe, and then they did believe, which I believe is very significant. And then we just talked about that yesterday quite a bit. But verse 2 of chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, or as the King James reads, what, Josh?
Fall into divers temptations.
And then it produces what?
Patience.
Try the of your faith worketh patience.
It builds it. It exercises it. It creates it. This is probably like one of my least favorite verses in the Bible.
Yeah.
Read them all now. James, I'm not for sure why you were led by the Holy Spirit to write this verse.
Hey, I was going to say you got to know that it was the Holy Ghost for him to write something like that.
That's true. I would never voluntarily write that.
I'd be writing and think, whoa, huh? That don't sound right.
If I'm writing Josh a letter, I'm probably not, hey, Josh, count it all joy when a bunch of stuff happens to you.
You know how much y'all get whooped right now if I say that? No, for real, because it's just. Wow.
But it is truth. Like, yes, James is sitting there telling us, like, hey, when you meet all these temptations, when you meet all these trials, these various things happening around you, count it joy. Because what's happening is it's going to build steadfastness, patience, endurance in us. And whether we want to admit it or not, and like I've said preaching many a times, we are not having a sign-up sheet on the connect table for adversity.
Right.
I'm not. I mean, right. Nobody's going to be like, who's ready for adversity this week, guys? Like, it's not going to happen. But we must have the revelation that adversity does produce patience and endurance.
Yeah.
And it does produce character. And character produces patience and endurance. And so,
well, I mean, it produces that within a child of God, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many people that get into that, I believe, that really don't go ahead and get through that adversity. They'll allow this to happen, that to happen. But that's why that I believe, Brother Aaron, you probably as well, me, that's why sometimes every week, from week to week, maybe not every week, but you always try to tell the people about, hey, even though you've struggled, even though you've been through this, even though you've been through that, we've all fell into divers different things, but you got to know that you got to get past that and count it all joy. Everybody talks about, well, I mean, I'm just battling this, battling that, but this is a good scripture, I believe, Brother Aaron, that we could show it to others. It says, hey, the Word tells us this.
Yeah.
The Word tells us this. You know, so even that word temptation there, I just got to look it up in this fancy Bible that I got from a great man of God one time. It says to putting to proof, mm-hmm. that's temptation by experiment. Mm-hmm. All right. And then it says also, you just said the word adversity. That's what it said. But, you know, putting to proof by what? Experiment. How are you going to know you're able to make it through something? Yep. By experimenting with it.
Yeah.
And knowing that the power of God is greater than what you're tempted with. He will always make a way of escape. I often tell this testimony sometime about how, you know, when I done things that wasn't right, when I committed sin,
mm-hmm.
when I knew it was wrong, but I still done it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, you can probably, as I can, how the Lord actually provided a way of escape, but I didn't take it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about how you take it. And I mean, so it's just, you know, but count it all joy.
And let's just break down this verse some more. So James here is saying, my brethren, he's identifying himself among the brethren, for one. And he's also telling them that you're not alone. Like, we're in this together. My brethren, my partaker, my shareholder, my family, whatever it is. Like, I'm with you in this. Like, there's identity right there. And it's the same thing like when Jesus said, you know, pray like this, my Father. It's like, it's that instant relational identification.
It's good.
And it's putting you relational. It's, I'm going to say it like this. It's positioning you in relationship. And I think that whenever we face various trials and temptation, like James is telling us here, it's important for him to positionally identify himself as part of the brethren, because he's let them know you're never alone. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the body of Christ is when you do face temptations, when you do face trials, when you do face adversity, whatever it is, you're not alone.
Come on.
And we never face this battle alone. And if you do face it alone, that was never the intent, I believe.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And here, and ESV says various trials, or various meet trials of various kinds. I believe here he's talking about a joy that's deeper than just smiling it off.
Yes. I would say so, because, I mean, I would even think it was a joy that really, it may not be. We think a joy is a smile.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Well, it may be a joy that ain't got no smile to it, but still yet, I'm living in joy even though I'm not, you know, happy and laughing all the time.
Yeah. And I think people need to realize you can be having a rough day and still be joyful.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Like, and I honestly would rather you just be like, you know, when people's fake smiling,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people come at me because I just don't really fake smile a whole lot. I'm a pretty transparent guy, and some mornings the kids are in your hair, and yeah. You're not going to wake up with roses and dandelions. That right. doesn't mean that the joy's not there. And I think we have to redeem this word joy a little bit from what the world's put it on as like always smiling, always happy-go-lucky. The Greek word is chara, and it's cheerfulness, a calm, delight, gladness, joy, joyfully. And basically, though, the synonyms here is like it can be just mean calm. Yeah. Like even right. whenever you're facing all this, remain calm. Remain, yeah. As Paul tells us in one place, sober-minded. I think all these are counted all joy. Like because for one, I'm with the brethren. They've got my back. And what am I brethren of? The body of Christ. So he's my head.
Yeah.
He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And I can remain calm. I love to think of that word joy in the word remain calm. Just stay mm-hmm. in peace.
Yeah.
Stay. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That settling, that establishment, that he's redeemed me. He's bought me. He's ripped me from the kingdom. He who has begun a good work is faithful and just to begin it, to finish it. And he's not going to let me down. He's not going to quit on me. And I know adversity looks rough right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably like a year and a half ago. And there was a sermon I preached here. And this ain't a shameless plug because I don't even think it's on podcast anymore probably. I don't know. But this ain't a shameless plug to try to get somebody to listen to it. But
right.
it's probably a sermon that affected me as much as it anybody in the sanctuary. And I kind of preached it just myself. It's like, don't waste the pain. And I think sometimes we waste the pain and we try to get out of something God's trying to put us through. And we're just so happy to escape the situation instead of letting adversity actually work its course to produce something in me.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it in love. Everybody hear this in love. The church has to stop playing the victim card. I know bad things has happened to you. I know there may have been horrific things happen to you. There may have been church hurt. There may have been family issues. There may have been divorce. There may have been all these things. There may have been adultery. There could have been, I mean, the list could go on and on.
Yeah.
But as long as you remain the victim, you'll never learn how to produce the patience and endurance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit's trying to work something in you. And it's like a Joseph. Remember, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for his good.
Amen.
And he's trying to take your pain. He's trying to take your issues, your situation, your trauma, whatever it is, and he's trying to produce something beautiful out of it. But there does come a time, and I say this in love because I've had to look in the mirror and tell myself this, you've got to quit feeling sorry for yourself. And you've got to let the Holy Spirit work his perfect work.
Yeah.
Something I really like that the study notes saying, I know we don't always read study notes, but that these trials are supposed to make Christians better, not bitter.
No, well, that's awesome.
And a lot of times it's one or the other
yep.
when mm-hmm. it comes to these
you
things.
Got you. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to a few people in the last little bit where, you know, I feel as if, you know, person to person, man to man, brother to brother. You know what I'm saying? Even though I don't have siblings like you do, Hannah, but I'm sure that you were probably honest with some of your sisters growing up. Hey, mm-hmm. even when you was getting ready for something, all right? I'm sure that one of your sisters probably said, how's this looking? He's like, well, that looks awful.
You know? Oh, yeah.
You know, but
I can
what
tell
I'm,
your name. No,
but what I'm saying is from time to time, you're honest with people, but oftentimes the reason that people actually, they try to get around people like that is because they know they're honest with them and they'll tell them the truth. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So when we say, hey, don't fall into that, we're telling people that because really that when we speak that, we've seen times where we have fallen into that,
mm-hmm.
where we've fallen into that trap, where we feel like, hey, you know, because listen, but count it all joy when that happens and get over it and go through it. Because see, so many times, especially sometimes in a Pentecostal church, a setting, you know, people actually dictate or they examine the service. And if it ain't a service of hollering, if it ain't a service of shouting, if it ain't a service of, you know, if it's just quiet and stillness, mm-hmm. it's like, well, I don't know if you did or not, but I did. because in those times is when we really learn. In those times when people are focused and actually, you know, Brother Aaron sees it and I see it, you know, when people are engaged with what the worship is or engaged with what the word says instead of engaged of how we react sometimes.
Yeah.
Because if it ain't the Holy Ghost moving on me, I don't want to react. But now listen, I love to shout. I love to jump. I love to do all those things. But the thing about it is, if the Holy Ghost ain't doing it, I don't want to do it just within myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I feel his spirit move, then guess what? I want to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'm thankful for the last few days. Even Brother Zach said it a few times. You know, he's talking about stirring us up. Talking about stirring us up. But not only stirring us up, but staying stirred.
Yeah.
To the point of where we always are ready to do the will of God. Why are we able to do that? Because we realize that, hey, that as James said here, he was instructed by the Holy Ghost to write this, that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. So oftentimes people ask, say, well, I want patience. Well, have you done what these verses says?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried it? Have you fell into diver? These things right here, according to the word of God, those are the things that work the patience. Whoa, I don't want to have to work for it.
Yeah.
Well, then apparently you don't want it. So.
Yeah, and not only work for it, but walk through things.
There you go.
Because, you know, Kaylee and I were talking about the other day how, you know, being younger in the faith, or even just younger people that haven't experienced as much life as other ones, and even if we've been a Christian as long as somebody else, when you've not experienced things in life, there's certain things that you haven't walked through yet. And we were talking about how, you know, it's very easy to look at these believers who are older than us and be like, man, I want that. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to hear the Lord like that and be radical, or just be so obedient and whatever, XYZ. And then the Lord really just spoke to her and said, well, you haven't walked through what they've walked through.
Wow.
They didn't just get that overnight.
Yeah.
They've walked through some fires to get to
that's
get
good
to that
point.
Place.
Great point.
And, you know, I think that spoke to both of us, because we've both been that way. And I see the Lord, you know, speaking that here in the scripture of like, we're not going to have that patience. We're not going to have that, these completed works that he's trying to do in us until we walk through these things. It's
that's
just
awesome.
We have to.
Yeah.
It's a
yeah.
part of our walk.
That's amazing. It's amazing.
Yep. And before we get to our Traverse trivia question, I mean, I got a text I was reading also. I think it's also speaking to just what Hannah said there, even unpacking that a little bit more. Is we do want the Lord to just give us stuff on the silver platter.
Right.
Josh just prays, God gives me patience. Well, here's your patience, Josh.
Yeah.
And patience is yours. Like, everything pertaining to life and godliness has already been purchased.
Come on.
But some things are developed in us.
Yeah.
And I think what we want, as Americans, we become very much spoiled in a lot of areas. And we've
almost every area,
you know, and especially as younger people.
Come on.
And you see the entitlement manifest in a lot of areas of like irrational thought, irrational behavior, spoiled entitledness, you know, all these things that we see a lot of the younger generation have. I mean, my generation included.
Yeah.
They never had to suffer through the Great Depression.
Man.
They never had to, honestly, for the bulk of them, they never had to worry about what they were going to eat. They never had to worry about starving. They never, and people say, well, there's hungry people in America. There absolutely is hungry people in America, but there's also food banks that can feed them. There's people that can give out food. There's people during the Great Depression and that kind of stuff. There wasn't there wasn't. And so people learn to endure. People learn to create this steadfastness from adversity. And I'm not saying that we all have to go through there, but a lot of times too, like, a lot of the generations who had drafts and didn't have a choice about going to war, didn't have a choice about all this, they understood the cost of freedom. They understood the cost of it. And a lot of times people nowadays, when they have nothing to do with war, they don't understand the cost of freedom. They don't understand the beauty of voting. They don't understand the, you know, and I'm saying that politically just for a second, but it rides over into our relationship with the Father too. Like, we don't count the cost. We just want to pray that little prayer, and then everything just drop down from heaven, and everything is just easy and smooth, And there's nothing about their Christian life that's probably going to be easy and smooth.
Come on.
And if you look at Paul and Peter, just look at both two incredible men of God, like, hallelujah. I mean, but yet they argued over stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter was kind of being a hypocrite, and Paul had to call him out, and they had to work through all of that. I mean, that's just one example. There's a lot more. But I think we do have to realize that this Christian life sometimes is difficult.
Right.
To walk in the Spirit. And
come on.
And it is tough at times. And yep. There is times that you want to go in a corner and cry. But those are the very moments the Holy Spirit will strengthen you, because in our weakness, He is made strong.
Come on now.
And so I just think that that's one thing I've... I was talking to somebody yesterday on the phone for a while, and, you know, I've said this for a while, and it is time all of us just continue to grow up in the faith. Just
that's
keep
right.
growing up. Yep. Just putting on our big boy pants.
Me too, brother.
Putting on our big boy pants and just continue to walk in faithfulness and holiness and seeking His face. And because this is the thing I'm so sick of, the quick burn.
Wow.
I'm just done with the quick burn. And I'm done with the burning for 2 weeks in exuberance. I mean, what you said I think is really prolific. Some of the most intense transformational services that I think I've ever been a part of didn't really have a shout. There was nobody dancing. And that's not bad. Yeah. It's just, I'm done with the quick. I'm done with the over. There was nothing overnight about Pentecost.
Come on.
There was 120 people that stayed in the room for 10 days. And then the suddenly happened.
Hallelujah.
And I think we have to, as the body of Christ, learn the slow burn.
Yep.
Because the slow burn takes. And it creates steps, and it gets hotter. The fast burn don't get as hot as the slow burn.
Come on.
Eventually, the slow burn just keeps burning and burning and capturing more. Sure. And so, I don't know. That's kind of where
That's
I've been
awesome.
At a lot.
Yeah, I like it.
Crock-pot versus microwave.
Yep. I love that Dutch Sheets wrote a whole chapter about that in his book, Intercessory Prayer, and it was good.
Man.
Jason Lee said, I didn't get this to this place yesterday, but in Jesus comes joy and peace. I was locked up in man's prison, and I had the most peace and joy in the darkness place only because of Jesus. Adversity is a life lesson to make us stronger if we allow it to.
That's awesome.
All righty, good stuff. We're going to read for Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank, and then we'll come back in here with the Kingdom Corner. And then we're going to get to Manna on Monday. Manna from Monday.
Yeah.
All right, what material was Solomon's throne made of? What material? That's a good one. What material was Solomon's throne made of? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning here in the neighborhood. We have no answer yet for that trivia question. It's a little toughy, so it may take a couple times. It is tough.
I know why you ain't got no answer.
Why?
Because the shock and awe you gave us right before you went to break with that one promo or whatever it was.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never heard that one. I listened to Box 2 Radio quite a bit.
I didn't know we had drive time.
I was like, drive in the afternoon? This ain't afternoon. Where am I at?
And I have no idea how that thing played.
I don't know.
Because literally my computer said MBR to break.
Honestly, though, have y'all been playing it or not really? Or you don't know?
I don't know. I don't know.
I do in my truck. I mean, I'm telling you, it's what it's on all the time. And I've never heard that promo.
Well,
I really haven't. So, anyway.
What is it for?
Putting that in the afternoons, and I mean, that'll pump me up in the afternoon, I'm telling you.
I'm just trying to figure out when our afternoon drive time is.
Oh, man. So, wow.
Huh. That's cool. I didn't know we had one, but I'm really thankful for it. I'm thankful for that promo. And that scared me half to death. I was expecting our music to break, and that wasn't it.
Yeah.
So, all right, Hannah, take us off Kingdom Corner.
Okay. All right, so Matthew chapter 12, verse 29 through 30. This is a short scripture this morning, so we'll get into manna maybe quicker.
That's all right.
But Okay, so Matthew 12:29, this is where it's Jesus had been talking about, they had accused him of casting out the demons with the power of the enemy. And then he's like, who can cast out the devil with the devil, you know? So come he's on. Like, a house divided cannot stand.
Right.
But verse 29 says, for who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who is not working with me is actually working against me. And so I did read a different translation there, but the King James reads, or else how can someone enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And then verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So I liked this. This spoke to me, this translation of anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me.
Wow.
It just, I think because I've read that verse in different translations, and then when I read it in this one, it was clearer to me of what Jesus is saying here. But it takes me back to John 15 when Jesus talks about him being the true vine. Yeah. And apart from him, we can't do anything.
That's right.
But then he goes on to talk about these different branches. So he's in John 15, verse 2 through 4, he says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitless. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me.
Come on now.
So, amen. When doing anything, we have to be connected to the one who is stronger.
That's right.
And that's where he's talking here. This is specifically talking about, honestly, deliverance and casting out the demons, but this is talking about so much more. He's saying, in general, anyone who isn't with me is opposes me.
That's right.
And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So to me, when it's saying tie up, before that, it's saying only someone who is stronger who could tie him up and plunder his house. That does remind me of the verse that talks about binding the hands, binding and loosing.
Right.
So we know with him, when we're operating through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to bind things,
yep.
to tie things up. But without that stronger man that's stronger than the things we're trying to bind up, we can't do that.
Yep.
Our prayers aren't going to be effective. We can't be effective in deliverance and seeing people set free if we're not connected to the vine,
that's
to
right.
Jesus, because apart from him, we can't do anything.
Yep.
But also, anyone who is disconnected from Christ is actually already condemned and would be that branch thrown in the fire like it talks about in John.
Right.
But the part that really stuck out to me, I mean, I think we all know that's talking about people who are just completely against Christ. Like, they're opposing him. They're not following him. They're not listening. They're not doing his work. But the part that says the ones not working with him are actually working against, that really convicted me of the times that we try to do things in our own self.
Come on now.
Or in our own strength.
Yep.
The ones that are Christians, the ones that are followers of Christ, but we veer off of the path. And we try to break off onto our own branch instead of remaining
come
in him.
Now. Yeah.
And so that's walking with him. When we abide in him, he abides in us, or remain, as that other version says. We will be walking with him. And he reminds us in John that any branch that's not producing fruit, which would be not working with him, not walking with him, not operating through that vine, is going to be thrown out.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is just a warning and a reminder as well to the believer to be very careful to make sure that we're not actually working against Christ in what we're doing.
Yep.
Because if we sing the song, "All this is for you," or, you know, there's many songs that say things like that, but is it for him? Is what we're doing for him, or is what we're doing for ourselves?
That's right.
And he knows the motives. He knows the fruit will prove it. The fruit will always prove. And this is, I believe he's saying here, who's not working with me is actually working against me.
That's right.
Or in that other translation, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Come on now.
So.
Yeah. No, it's so good, Hannah. I mean, even before, when you got to verse 29, before that, it's talking about every kingdom divided against itself. And see, I'm just so, you know, I think about how most of the time when somebody goes into another man's house to do destruction, like you think about a thief sometime, they're going in to take something. And if you're there when they're trying to take something, you're going to do all you can to make sure, hey, if somebody that's not supposed to be there gets out of there.
Yeah.
So oftentimes, that's how I know Brother Aaron done a series about casting out devils and deliverance and stuff here a while back here on Wednesday nights. But, you know, knowing how we as Christians, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the power of God, if you claim to be a child of God, the power is in you to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, in order to do that, if somebody comes into your house, what do you got to do? You got to make sure you take that force that says, okay, then here's what's got to happen because the Lord's taught me what to do. So as Jesus spoke these words here, when they come to spoil something that I have, when they take my spoils or they come to spoil it or whatever, I mean, I want people to understand that the power of God is in you to make sure that, hey, if the world's going to come against you, your family's going to come against you, friends going to come get you, your coworkers are going to come against you, but still yet, you got to be greater than that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be greater than that. Because why? Because now the Spirit of God is in you, and no more is the things of this world in you. Because now if you do things that's not right, it's going to convict you.
Amen.
Now if you do things that's not, it's going to convict you because it hits differently now.
Yeah.
It hits differently.
Because you're connected to that true vine.
That's right. Amen. And, you know, John 15, I've told many people this, and I said John 15 is actually my favorite, if I had to pick a favorite chapter in the Bible, it would be John 15. Because true vine, then later on it talks about how you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, people that know me and have heard me preach before, they've heard this. But I always like preaching this at chapel. I preached it here at chapel one time. Even when I went down to Oak Ridge, I preached it here because, you know, if you think about a team. And, you know, we was talking about Uncle Jeremy a while ago, all right? I remember, you know, in school during break, we could always play pickup games during break. Even though it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, hey, we'd pick a team. Hey, you're captain, pick a team. Let's go. We got to hurry. You know, but all the time when you're picking a team, you pick the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I often say, listen, my best friend might have been somebody. But to be honest with you, when I was picking the team, I want to make sure that I picked the team that gave me the best chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what the Lord's done to each and every one that's listening this morning? Don't matter how little they think they are. Don't matter how big they think they are. Don't matter how much they think that they don't know. But still, the Lord is picking you this morning because
Amen.
He believes in you. He believes in you. So, I mean, I just can't. When I hear John 15, I just think about that. So going back to when we pick on breaks or whatever, you know, I would pick the guys that I thought, all right, if I got him on my team, I'm winning. If I got him on my team, I'm winning. So I'm picking them. But see, yeah, to go back to the last one, I've been this way before. I've been some of the one last picked. But still, yeah, well, guess what? I'm still on the team.
Yeah.
I'm still on the team. And see, that's why I think that so many people get wrapped up in, well, I mean, I got picked last. Well, you're still on the team. I mean, come on. I mean, you're still part of what's happening here.
Yeah.
And so I don't want no big U's or no big I's or no little U's in nobody's thing, you know, because you're still part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kingdom of God, and that's what we must know. So,
amen.
Anyway.
Yeah. excuse me. I had a question come in yesterday. I figure we'll approach quickly. We can do it 8 minutes before break, and then after the break we'll go to manna. I was approached about the amount of rebuking going on in the body of Christ today with people. And I think what they're saying is a fair criticism.
Okay.
I think there's some teaching that needs to go out about rebuking others and being willing to be rebuked yourself. Rebuke does not mean that you are sinful without repair, or that you're condemned or you're going to go to hell. It's basically saying, me going up to Josh and saying, Josh, I love you and I'm going to help you, but I see this in your life. Like, it's there.
Right.
And let's deal with it. Okay. Like, it is not walking up to somebody. Now, something rebuking you, I believe this, and anybody can correct me. Like, I think rebuking is a part of the church. I think we have Proverbs, I think we have some others, but also I think we have Thessalonians, talks about building each other up, edifying each other. We have 1 Corinthians, talks about let everything be done in love, right?
Right.
And it was a good conversation I had with this person yesterday, but also I don't think you ever have permission to rebuke somebody based upon your personal conviction and your preference. I think if you're going to rebuke somebody, it's got to be in direct disobedience to the Word of God.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
That's what I take it as. I think that anything else is outside the realm of what rebuke's supposed to be. And I found this on gotquestions.org. I like gotquestions.org. I know some people don't. I like it. I like that a lot. And this person who wrote this, they did a checklist. And I thought this checklist was really good.
Okay.
Because I kind of looked up some scriptures yesterday I was looking up some scriptures. And this checklist is really good. I like this a lot. The first thing, I'm going to read the paragraph he writes before this.
Yes.
Gotquestions.org. A simple checklist can help individuals know when it is maybe necessary to rebuke a sinning Christian. We should never be hasty or rash in a rebuke. We should evaluate each situation carefully and prayerfully and ask ourselves these questions. I love, there's got to be a lot of love surrounding, and there's got to be a lot of edifying. Like, if I'm just rebuking you because I think I'm right and you're wrong, I need to be rebuked myself.
Yeah.
All right. So number one, and he gives scripture to everyone except number six, but I think there is a scripture even number six could do. So he comes from Matthew 12:1 here. Is my life free from similar sin?
Wow.
I was like, well, that's good. That's a really good place to start. He's not saying am I free from sin. I mean, because I do think you can push that to until I'm perfected in all ways, I have no right to call somebody. But he's saying, or she, I don't know if it's a he or she, they're saying, is my life free from similar sin?
Come on.
Number two, do I have a relationship with this person that allows me to speak into his or her life? I think it's very fair.
Yeah.
I think that if I'm going to do a rebuke, it should be somebody I have a relationship with. I do actually believe that. I believe it would be wrong for me to come into Madrid. And now I know a lot of people there.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
You know, I love the house there. But if I don't know somebody, even not having a real relationship with, I know them.
Yeah.
But I feel like if somebody's gonna rebuke it privately, it probably needs to be you at that point. Because you have that relationship.
Yeah.
Now I could go to you and like, well, I don't know. I think that would be unpacking. I think it had to be decided. Is that gossiping or is this great concern? Like, yeah. I don't know. I think that would have to be a lot of motivation of the heart, because I think you very well get into the gossiping at that point.
Right.
But I could pray that Lord showed Pastor Josh this situation. You know, if this is there, expose it so that it can be dealt with.
Yeah.
Number three, is my motive that of restoration rather than condemnation? I absolutely love that one. I love it. Is my motive that of restoration rather than condemnation? Mm. That's Galatians 6:1. The one before that was Galatians 6:2. Number four, would I be willing to have someone rebuke me in the same way? Gets quiet after that one, though.
It's pretty. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Matthew 7:12.
It's almost like I can't wait till the next one. Because really, them are good points.
Number five, do I understand Scripture well enough to know how and why this person is violating it?
Yeah.
2 Timothy 2:15.
Wow. All right.
I do think that. Number six, am I prepared to go to my pastor or elders on the person's behalf if he refuses or she refuses to listen to me?
Yeah.
Number seven, am I willing to commit to praying for this person's healing and restoration before and after I confront him or her?
Before, I like the before and after part, that's for sure.
I love it that they're setting the pace. it's not something I'd say without prayer.
Yeah.
And without, I think rebukes are necessary, but I actually think rebukes should come slowly. I think we should be prayerful. We should be slow to speak, yes, as James is going to tell us.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we just pop off. And I think sometimes we need to take a minute, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, ask the Holy Spirit to help them, ask the Holy Spirit to help prepare them to receive this. And I think it's really good, before and after. Eight, I think this one's really good too. Is this offense truly a sin or simply an act of immaturity or preference?
Okay.
I like that one a lot. Yeah. I think that, again, that goes back to what I said earlier about rebuke, that I think if you're going to rebuke somebody, I think it has to be from Scripture.
For sure.
Yeah. I think that we can talk about our personal preferences, but I don't think we can enforce them.
Yeah.
I think we only can enforce what Scripture and obedience tells us to do. And then number nine, am I acting in love?
Wow.
I think they're a great checklist. I think it's a great nine questions to ask when we're dealing with rebuking other believers, which we know it is part of it. Like, we do understand this. And Matthew 17, I think it is, deals with church discipline. Paul deals with rebuking. Paul tells Titus about rebuking. And so rebuking is something that is part of the body. But also I think that rebuking must come in love. And I loved how that person said it, with the hope of restoration, not condemnation, with edification, with, and I think this is the key word. Sunday morning, whenever the Lord was moving, this was the word that kept coming to my head. And this is, the Lord really does move very gently.
Yes.
He's gentle. And I think that, and I do think he's going to ferociously move towards unbelievers one day who, you know, in judgment. But we see where the Lord really does for us most. And I get it. He disciplines us. He chastises us. But even in that, you ever notice, Josh, even in that, like, now Ananias is a fire. That was a unique case. We really don't have any other case like that that we know of. Like, very few.
Yeah.
Like, I know maybe one or two stories that I've heard, but I don't know if they're exactly Ananias and Sapphira story. So it's hard to decipher. But most of the time what I see is the Lord being really gentle and kind and merciful.
Yeah.
And some, because we're very thick-skulled and hard-headed a lot. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes a few times for me to get the whack right. Like, it takes me a couple times to hit the ball. I'll swing a time or two and get, I get behind in the count 0-2, and then I'll finally make contact. And it's like, you know, the Lord's that, and I'm not saying that, I am not saying that we just keep on sinning. And that's not what I'm saying. Like, don't even interpret what I'm saying there like that. What I'm saying is some, what we were talking about earlier with adversity.
Right.
With this, like, people going through a very hard time.
Mm-hmm.
People's going, maybe somebody's been dealing with sickness, maybe people, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to lose a child. You know, I can't even imagine the weight of that. And I think we really do have to be careful not to put extra condemnation. Like, even in James, I don't think even in various trials and heartache and pain and grief, you smile all the way through.
Come on.
There might be some days you're like, Lord, I have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Are you even doing anything? I mean, I'm just, let's just be real.
I mean, that's being real.
That's really, it's like, we're either going to be real talk or no talk.
Yeah.
And I don't think that makes you a bad Christian. I don't think the Lord turns his head from you in that moment, because we see Peter do some messed up stuff.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, hey, make sure Peter's with you.
Yeah.
Because Peter was kind of in the corner feeling sorry for himself.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you make sure Peter's with you.
Because
Peter's got work to do. I know Peter wasn't perfect.
Right.
I know Peter messed up, but Peter's got some work to do.
So if there's people listening right now that feel like that, We just need to reaffirm to them, hey, you got work to do.
Yeah.
We got work to do.
Yeah. And I know that whatever situation you're in right now, it's hurtful, it's painful, and you feel like you have no faith, but you probably have more faith than you ever realized.
That's right.
And the enemy is fighting you. And yeah. I just wanna say the Lord is really gentle and kind.
Yeah.
And the Lord has never forsaken you. He's never left you. He's right here with you. He's walking with you. And it's like that footsteps in the sand poem.
Yep.
It's probably more true than we'd ever realize.
Right.
He's carrying you and you don't even know you're being carried.
That's it.
But I want to rip off that condemnation that people's put on you.
Come on.
Because I think that's the barrier a lot of the times.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit said, Jesus said, I've not come in the world to condemn it. The world itself is already condemned. What did he do? He came to save it.
That's right.
He came to give us life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit convicts, doesn't condemn. That's what he said. The Holy Spirit, what? Comes in the world to convict the world of their sin, not condemn the world.
Not condemn the world.
So if you're operating in condemnation, that's not the Holy Spirit.
That's not it. No.
And I think a lot of people's there.
That's it.
I mean, I know one person that just, they're so overwhelmed by everything, and they feel like they're such a failure at it.
Yeah.
That they just want to quit. And that's condemnation.
Come on.
Conviction's an invitation to repent. Condemnation is a overwhelming blanket that's put on you that's saying you'll never be good enough. Well, here's the beautiful thing. You will never be good enough. But they're one that was. And that's when we surrender our life to him. But that condemnation's like a blanket just suffers you out.
Yep.
And that's religiosity. And
come on,
we've
got
to go to break.
Gotta
so
go.
Right when it's getting good, we got to go to break. But somebody needs to be free this morning. I just feel that in my gut. Like somebody needs to be free.
Amen.
Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Hidden Lane Surveying. According to Luke, what is more valuable? What is man more? Oh, the first one was answered, Rachel Arms. What material was Solomon's throne made of? It was ivory covered in gold, 1 Kings 10:18. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Hidden Lane Surveying. According to Luke, what is man more valuable than? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood. We got an answer for the trivia question here. It is Brother Dwayne Kidd got it correct, and that is, according to Luke, what is more valuable? What is man more valuable than sparrows? Luke 12:7 is also in Matthew 10:31. And so we were talking on the break, and right before we get into manna, you were asking about, like, if we could hear a rebuke better from somebody we don't know or do know. This is a question kind of brought up more.
Yep.
I understand, like, the confirmation thing, like, if they don't know anything at all. But, see, I don't think that's really a rebuke, though.
Okay.
Like, so that's why I'm, like, unpacking. That's why I was thinking.
Right.
And we ran out of time, so I'm thinking as
right. Yeah, we still thinking.
Like, if somebody comes up to me and confirms something that they don't know, that's more prophetic.
Okay, I got you.
That's like a prophetic thing.
You think it's
thing.
More prophetic more than a
like,
rebuke?
Like, well, I mean, it could be a rebuke from the Lord almost. But what we're talking about is when a believer, in Matthew, I think Matthew 16 or 17, excuse me, it could be 18. It's in that section.
Right.
Talks about church discipline and how to handle it. So if somebody's in sin, it's the responsibility individually to go to them first.
Right.
If that doesn't work, then you go to the elders. If that doesn't work, then you go to the whole church. All right, so there's a call, and there's a progressive call to repentance. That's more like a believer rebuking another believer or something in that regard. But I do think that should be done with cautiousness and make sure it's scriptural, like very much so.
Yeah.
And I think if a traveling preacher comes in there and they're sensing something in the spirit, this is what I was trying to say, and it's hard to get all this out.
No, it's hard.
I think that person, it's Matthew 18, thanks, Brother Dwayne, that person, I think, should have a conversation with the pastor before it's brought out. That's my personal opinion. And I think the reason that is sometimes people miss it. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you come here and you prophesy something and you miss it, I'm going to try to do it as gently as I can, but I probably have to stand up before the body and say, I think they missed that.
Yeah.
Because I'm responsible. I'm responsible to lead and protect.
But if it's something that you believe is going to come on in the past, then you wouldn't necessarily stand up and say something against it.
What now? Say that again.
Okay, you know how you said if something is said and you think they missed it,
mm-hmm.
then it would be your duty as a pastor to say, hey, I'm sorry, but I believe it you missed it. But if it's something that you feel as if is right on, then you would not say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about something like, I don't know if that was, it could be, maybe. I'm not going to get up there and say right. something like that. But we've all been in services where somebody says something, we're like, that's
yeah,
just.
Yeah, we have.
All right.
We have.
And that is the responsibility of the pastor to step up in love and say, I just feel like that word's probably not, I thank you. I thank you for the obedience that you did have and
help
you felt,
Lord.
But I do think that's probably not the right word for the house. And the reason I think it's important is you have young believers, you have older believers, you may have not seasoned believers that know how to discern words.
Yeah.
And they could take that and run in a bad direction and it could hurt them. So it is your responsibility to steward over that. But I think that's the leader's position at that point.
Right.
And I think it has to be done in love and mercy. And I do think if a traveling minister is going to come in there, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, I think it does happen actually, that they get the word and what happens. I think it's not just responsibility to say what's happening. I think it's a responsibility to unpack it and talk scripturally about the solution, because it's time that we stop talking about the problem and start bringing solutions.
Come on.
The Lord did not just prophesy about the problems. The Lord kept sending the prophets the word for the solution. And so mm-hmm. if a prophet or a prophetic people can only keep talking about the problems, they're probably not as prophetic as you think they are.
Right.
They're just observant.
That's good.
And there's a big difference between prophetic and observation. And I think a lot of times what we have in the church is prophetic people, observant people masked with a prophetic name. And so they're just observant of what's going on, and they think the prophetic anointing is the thing that calls out what's wrong.
Yeah.
The prophetic anointing is actually the thing that brings light to what needs to be done. And so Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha, what do? They brought solutions. They prophesied the way out. They prophesied what the Lord's going to do. They prophesied how this whole thing's going to be fixed. If all you do is prophesy to me the rebuke and the prophesy the issue and the problems, I really don't think you're as prophetic as you think you are.
Come on now.
And because the prophetic, I think, has given me solutions.
It's pretty good. That's
and
good.
And not just observation.
Yep. No, that just
that's
got,
just my observation.
No, of course, you know, that brought back when we were speaking to before break. That's why I wrote down. I forgot my pen, or I thought I did, but it's there. I said, Hannah, I need your pen real quick, because I had to write it down. But, you know, that's something that I kind of asked Sister Hannah and also Brother Aaron on break. I said, would you rather hear from somebody you don't know about a rebuke that you're doing something wrong, or somebody you do know? Now, I know we may have everybody saying, I don't know, but I'm just going to tell you from my heart right
mm-hmm.
now. This is just the way we're going right now for a minute, if that's
sure.
okay. Is that all right?
No, I'm good.
All right. But so if I have, knowing how the Lord works in my life and actually his church, I can feel as if I'm doing something that's, you know, let's say I don't even realize it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But if I hear from somebody, another minister from somewhere else that comes in and is like, wow. Lord, did you say that? You must be speaking to me, because that's exactly what I need to hear, okay? But I can understand how some Christians, maybe not as, you know, maybe not as in the faith as some or others or what, if they hear that from somewhere else, I don't even know them. How are they even able to say this against me or say I need to be doing this? They don't even know me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But here I am thinking, well, the Lord's brought them here for me. All right. So that's why I asked the question as how we got on into this was, would you rather, and you can think about it, listeners, you can think about this now, but would you rather hear rebuke from somebody you know or from a visiting minister that's a man of God or a woman of God that you don't know, that you know the Lord spoke into them? So that's just a question you can think about during this day. So,
mm-hmm.
And Hannah, you kind of answered that as well. I mean, I felt as if, I mean, it just would hit different and harder for me when a visiting minister or somebody, a man of God or woman of God, come in and you heard that from them and you know, wow, Lord, that's why you brought them here was for me, because you knew I need to hear that, because you knew I was surrounded by people, Brother Aaron or somebody that I consider some of my best friends, best ministers that I can go to at any time and not really heard it from them, but you knew I needed that word, and that's why you brought them here
mm-hmm.
for me personally. You know, anybody else, you say, I hear this all the time. How was service? How was service? Was service good? Was service? Well, listen, it was amazing for me, but I don't know about everybody else. Go ask them. Mm-hmm. Whether there be 10 people there, 15 people there, 40 people there, whatever it is. But see, it's all about our approach on how we feel as if that we need to be fed in every service. I don't just have church just to have church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just go to a congregation and go to a place just to be there. I go to learn something. And I don't go to another place just to take over and say that. I mean, I tell people all the time, I say, listen, I come to just to learn.
Yeah.
Just to be with you. I didn't come to say something. You ain't got to call on me. You ain't got to, I mean, you ain't got to do that. I mean, I just come to be with you guys. It's, you know, it's yeah. just, you know. It's
Let me ask you this, though. Let's unpack that a little farther.
Okay, that's good.
Because I love conversation.
I love it.
Because I do think he can use anybody.
Right.
I think he can use right. anybody. I'm not saying it's exclusive to just people we know.
Yeah.
Here's why I personally favor somebody you have a relationship with.
Okay.
Is Galatians 6:2. That's what that guy mentioned. And I love this. Love one another. Bear each other's burdens. I think with rebuke, when it does happen, it should be something we say, but it also should be something we're willing to walk out the overcoming with.
I got you.
And if it's just if it's only a traveling person that comes by and says it, there you may have them one night. And honestly, they're going to probably go on to the next church. And if you call them, they'll be there, but they're probably not. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
And I think there's something about if all I do is go up to Hannah and say, Hannah, you're doing this, stop it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think that's an inappropriate rebuke. That's just myself. Like, I think that I need to say, this is the issue. Let's stop it. But I'm going to walk it out with you until we stop it. And now, if she doesn't hear that rebuke and she continues to be walking full out in the sin and she's not willing to overcome, then now we take it to the leaders. That's what Matthew 18 tells us to do. Take it to the elders and say, this is the sin. This is the issue. They're unwilling to repent.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't happen in churches today because if we did this, most people just go to the next church.
Wow.
And so it's not for them, it's just like, well, I'll go to a church, it's not going to rebuke me. And there's plenty of those. And so, but I think when we're really eager to grow in the Lord and really be stretched and really, really be matured, then we'll hear it.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, just for me, bearing that burden with each other, then fulfilling the law of Christ is, I don't know if I can walk in holiness without you, Josh.
Come on.
And I think it's time the church gets real about that.
Hey, and when people realize that right there, man, I don't know why, Brother Aaron, but for real, when you realize that right there, I can't walk in holiness without you. Mm-hmm. I can't walk in holiness without you. I can't walk in holiness without each other pulling together.
Yeah.
Jesus being the chief cornerstone, but I love that point. Yeah. That's awesome. Go ahead.
And I need you.
Yep.
And you need me, and we need each other, and we're bearing each other's burden, and in that we're going to fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think there is significance around. I've had the time where somebody don't know me says something to me. He's like, "Oh, that was definitely from the Lord."
Yeah,
and that was meaningful. But I think there's another level when we walk it out with each other.
Yeah.
So it's not just me saying, no, it's let's live this life together.
I do think, though, if, you know, the Lord used somebody, because it could be a thing where there's people who were felt led in the body that you're close to give you the rebuke, but they weren't obedient, and they never gave that rebuke. And right. I do believe when we're not obedient, the Lord will raise up somebody else to speak the word or to do the thing. And at that point, I feel like if someone outside, like someone that's traveling, gives the rebuke or gives the word, then at that point the person that's receiving it can open up and share with the community, and once the community knows, then they can all walk with and help through it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some more to unpack there about I don't think everything needs to go to the whole church. I think there's people we walk with, and there's things that we do.
Oh, I didn't mean the whole church. I mean,
I think
a
you're,
community.
You're
of basically what you were saying, except you take what that the people that you would want to give you the rebuke, they weren't the ones to do it. So instead of them initially giving you the rebuke, when the other person gave you that word, you're going to go to those community that you would want to give you that, and you're going to tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. And again, I'm not against traveling people rebuking.
And I say traveling people,
we just use
lightly. That's just
ministers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, And I mean, because I want to know them that labor among me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, I'll be honest with you. Of course, Brother Zach, you know, he's been our church. He's been, you know, he's over there now. And there's been, I've had a couple calls.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, how's it going? I said, it's going all right, going good. I mean, I had different ones that maybe last night was very powerful. They said, well, I just figure with somebody that don't really know this community, how many people would come? I was like, well, I mean, you know, I'm going and I'm getting something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that respectfully. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, I mean, I know that, how did you get connected? Well, I mean, just something like when you talk to some people, you can feel the presence of God in them. But some people, it's like, you like them, you feel their spirit, but you're like, I don't know how much, many more, not a good thing or a bad thing, but don't know how much more I would talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And so I know we're going to get into the manna.
We may have
to continue some more of this conversation tomorrow. But but it's like, I think there's more conversations around rebuking. And exactly what are we rebuking? Like,
yes.
If it's like a movie you're watching.
Right.
I think I got to be careful on what I rebuke and don't. I just be honest with you, because some of that could be my personal preference. There's certain. I know we say this before. There's certain stores I won't shop at, but I can't rebuke you if you do.
That's right.
Like, that's not a rebuke. That's not a biblically permissible rebuke to me. Now I'm rebuking on preference and on my conviction.
Yeah.
Not your conviction. And the Holy Spirit convicts people at different places.
I'm sorry. I got to keep going if that's all right.
So
rebuke and condemnation. That's two different things, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. I wanted to get to that point because I believe that so many times when people get rebuked, or I've got rebuked in the past, I might think that they're trying to condemn me.
Yeah.
They're not trying to condemn me. They're trying to help me.
Yep.
And, I mean, when we realize that he come into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus did.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's why I believe that so many people with the rebuke, they're trying to think that we are condemning them. To do that. No, we're trying to help each other. I mean, just like, you know, if you see, I mean, I know I've heard this many a time before. I say, you know, if you see a child going to a railroad track or something like that, you see a train coming or you see a car coming, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to holler out and you're going to do that. You're not, you could say, actually, you're rebuking him, say, hey, don't go there. Don't stop, you know, but you're going to help them.
Yeah.
But if you're going to condemn them, you just let it go.
Well, I think I think it rides off, like, go back to the movie. I think I can go up to that person and say, hey, I love you, and I love you enough to say this. It's not a healthy movie. Like, I'm not going to tell you the word says don't watch it, because there's no Deuteronomy 16 that says do not watch this title. All right? Is it healthy for you? No. Is it opening doors? Possibly. Like,
right.
I think that's the encouragement. I think that's the moment where we have that conversation, brother to brother. But that's not rebuke. Rebuke is stop it. Like, there's strong rebuke is not a light word.
No.
It's a stop it.
Yep.
Stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Stop it. You've got to stop this.
That's right.
And I think rebukes are not something that's necessarily like a common thing all the time.
That's right.
Because some of it, I love what that list said. We got to go to manna. Some of it could be immaturity.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if somebody's been born again for 3 days,
right,
take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Just, I've seen so many people that's like got born again.
Yep.
And they get so overwhelmed because now everybody's hitting them from every side. Stop doing this. Like, take a deep breath. Like, the thing we hit them with is not necessarily just all the stuff they're not supposed to.
Come on.
Let's give them the stuff they are supposed to do. Let's get them in the Word. Let the Word start to cut some edges off. Let the Word start to do it. Teach them how to have prayer life. Like, it's very unhealthy for somebody to get born again and everybody just comes up, now you got to stop doing this, 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 because now it becomes religious.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to earn something to keep it. No, let's get them the Word. Let's get them the Bible. Let's get them a prayer life. Let's get them in the church. And a lot of these things start to fall off via the Holy Spirit, not via us.
That's right.
A rebuke is for those, I believe, that's mature Christians, that's walking in the glory of God.
Amen.
And they fall to the wayside.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Glory.
Not somebody that's been born again for 23 seconds.
That's right. Amen.
So, sorry, that's my rant.
No,
I'm done.
I love it, Josh. I love it. I'm sorry. I'm the one that got you going that time, brother.
My mic.
All right. So here we go. This is kind of a manna this morning on Tuesday. We're going to go to John 10, verse 29. It said, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to say the book of John is so amazing. I believe he wrote it to show others the deity of who God is. Within chapter 10, we see the importance of knowing that Jesus is God. We've been given a promise. The promise is that no man is able to pull you away from his hand. So why are so many not within the Father's hand anymore? One of the main reasons is because so many have lost their focus and allowed themselves to be pulled away from the Father's hand. A Father's hand is the source of everything we need as a believer. I want to reassure you today, if you currently find yourself outside of the Father's will, it's because you have chosen the things of this world and have become satisfied living for your own selves instead of living for God. I believe Jesus himself is trying to get others to understand the power that is within his children, given to us by his hand to demonstrate the anointing that lives within you and me. Don't allow other people to pull you away from where you need to be, the Father's hand. Be strong. Stay strong. We are strong. Amen. So, I mean, just so important how Jesus, when he spoke, not only was he speaking to his children, but he's also speaking to the ones that was around him.
Mm-hmm.
That I believe, as you know, we talked about rebuke and everything a while ago, that as he was telling his disciples there, others, people seen him, you know, telling his disciples, hey, you don't need to be doing this, you don't need to be doing that. So I believe it's important for us to understand that as children of God, that no man, it says, no man is able to pluck you out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen because I'm sending people your way. I'm sending the anointing. I'm sending the power of the Holy Ghost that will be able to consume you, be able to override everything of this life. And I'm thankful that no man can pluck
Amen.
Me out of his hand. I'm in my Father's hand. What's that hand represent? Power, anointing, everything we need of mm-hmm. is in his hand. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So,
glory. Yeah.
Amen.
All right. Please don't rebuke me for cutting your man
no,
short.
Hey, I'm the one that done that, brother. I asked you
got
to quit. I got you all
up.
Fired and stirred up, brother.
Did we get our second trivia question?
I don't know. yes, we did. Brother Dwayne Kidd got that right. Sparrows.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, we are going to be right back here with our special guest, Jared and Ashley Walker, after the break. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. And what a awesome day it's been in the presence of the Lord. We are excited to have Jared and Ashley on with us. Are you guys on with us?
Good morning.
Good morning, good
morning, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a long time. No see for you, Ashley. And congratulations. I'm a little bit late on that. And your all's married life and all of those things, serving the Lord together, walking out married life, and life in ministry. So you're both in ministry.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So we are both at Elkhorn Baptist Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. Jared is the youth pastor while I serve as the children's director here.
That is so awesome. I love to see couples serving together in the body of Christ. There is such an attack right now on the family. There's been an attack on marriages for a long time. As you all know this, we all know this. And I'm just thankful to see people in our generation, early 20s, serving the Lord, listening to the verse that says, you know, start this while you're young. Start serving the Lord in your youth. Don't just waste these years on following the things of this world, but let's lay up our treasures in heaven. Amen?
Right.
So, okay. So I want you all to talk about kind of how the Lord, now for a kind of I don't know the word here, but a little background info. I went to Campbellsville with Ashley. I don't think I got to meet Jared. I didn't get to talk to him very often.
You have.
But I know that you, Ashley, studied marriage and family ministries.
I did.
And so you had a theology degree. Did Jared as well?
So I had a undergrad in music, actually.
Okay.
And Right now I'm doing a master's in divinity here at Campbellsville too, all online. But God moved in an amazing way.
Wow.
A few years back, and kind of turned my life in a way that I love music. I still love it today, but he called me into ministry. And so had to be obedient in that way, you know.
Amen. Yeah, so kind of talk about that. I guess you all can kind of just take turns and kind of talk about how the Lord led you into the ministry. And you can kind of talk about maybe how that looked different before marriage and after marriage, too.
Yeah, so I was born into a family of ministers. my mom's a children's director. I have both my brothers and my sister were in ministry, aunts, uncles, everybody. So that was kind of something I was running from for a long time.
Mm.
I didn't want to just join the family business, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I knew from a really young age that I wanted to help people, especially children. I just didn't know what that looked like. So when I got to Campbellsville, I actually was majoring in music at first and just really felt a heavy presence that the Lord wanted me to start looking at helping with marriage and family. And so Campbellsville offers that marriage and family ministry program. I was going to take it further and do theology, but or do therapy, but then I met my husband, and that just didn't happen, and so I joined him on his journey of being a part-time youth pastor up in Springfield, Kentucky, and have just been on a wild ride ever since. It's been pretty crazy.
Wow. You know, what I've found in my life, and this is not about me, so we're going to have to catch up so we can,
yes,
we have a lot of ground to cover off the radio, but, you know, what I've noticed is that the Lord gives us what we need. He always gives us what we need. We think that we want something, and, you know, the funny thing is, you all know Corbin Harris, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I actually had him on not too long ago to kind of talk about his testimony and how the Lord has used him in sports and all. And he kind of had a similar testimony of like, well, this was my plan. And then the Lord, he took me in another direction. And but I love when that is marriage because,
yeah.
I mean, Ashley and I, we know we've took the classes, but we also know what we know what the word says is that
right.
The order, the godly order is him first, then the marriage, mm-hmm. and then our family, and everything else comes after that. Like our home yeah. is our first ministry. And
yeah.
I love that the Lord used your husband to take you a different direction because that's the direction that he created you to be in.
Right.
So I love right. that. And so what about you, Jared? How did you, and I think it's funny because you all both have the musical background. So I love how God does that and puts people together that it's just funny. I love it. But how did you kind of get into the ministry and how does that, then you all can go into, how does that look different now that you all are married and you're doing it together?
Yeah. Well, I can go a couple hours when it comes to my testimony, but to keep it kind of under wraps a little bit,
we have until 9.
I guess the big synopsis of my testimony and where God kind of led me to is I grew up in a Christian home, and I was taught all the good values, good morals, taught Jesus, but I really never truly had a relationship with him until a little later in life. And I came to Campbellsville, and this is a true story. I made mistakes. There's things that I did wrong. I probably did every wrong thing in the book when it comes to being a student. I was not a very good student, and came to school for music education. I knew that I loved teaching. I knew I loved playing the trumpet. It was a lot of fun. Love marching band. I still consider it a sport to this day. And so, but going from that into a season where I dropped out of college and I moved up into my parents' house, and then kind of God did a 360 in my life of like I got to actually like I accepted him for real that time, and my salvation and the baptism, and it was just incredible. And going into at that point, just kind of reaching out and seeing if I can get involved into a local church. And so I got an internship, long story short, there at Mercy Road Church in Carmel, Indiana. and absolutely had one of the best years of my entire life serving in youth ministry as an intern. And I knew I just fell in love with the idea of not only just teaching music to kids, but to teach God, wow. to teach His Word into kids. And so 6th through 12th grade has been kind of my vibe where God's had me.
Yeah.
I came back to Campbellsville to finish my music degree that I was already started. God blessed me with a part-time youth ministry position in Springfield, a Cornerstone Christian, which was amazing for 2 years. And then He opened the door this last year into full-time ministry. And in the midst of all that crazy in school, with ministry and everything, I knew also there was a big reason why God had me come back to Campbellsville, and that was for my wife. I didn't know who she was. Where
he who
be.
Finds a wife finds a good thing. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there.
But from the moment I met her, which was crazy through other friends, mutual friends, I knew I was going to marry her. She didn't know that at the time, but I did. I kind of stuck with it and loved her through it. And we're past our first year of marriage now, which has been incredible. And just being able to work with her and serve alongside her, seeing her grow through Christ and just love all that. So that's a little bit about me and my testimony and all that, where we are right now.
Wow. I love love, and love when you love when you have Christ in the center of it. I mean,
yeah.
And I just see, I mean, just hearing you talk, Jared, about what the Lord's done in you and just seeing you all together, I can see how the Lord is really using your all strengths together for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I know Ashley pretty well, and I'm so glad that she is doing she's the children's minister director, because she has that she has gifts for administration for sure, and she's really good with, you know, organizing things and just keeping things on track, and I just love to see people not neglecting those gifts that the Lord's given them, but actually putting them and not burying them in the sand with the talents that He's given us. And so kind of talk about what's happening with the kids. So you all kind of already went into like spiritual growth, which I love. I love when people answer the questions that I already have prepared without me even having to ask them. So that's how we know we have a good flow going here. But but talk about like what's happening. What is the Lord doing in the kids that you all are working with? What are some things that are going on, the spiritual growth that you are seeing in them, and even how that is teaching you all? Because I mean, I have started here at the ministry that I'm at to work with kids more. I never really thought that I would be working with kids, but it has opened up something in my heart. It's opened up something in my heart that I love, and it's a passion, and they teach me so much. Like kids teach us so much. And so just kind of talk about that. What is the Lord doing in the youth? What is the Lord doing in the kids? And kind of go from there. And then we might get into some testimonies after that.
Yeah. So our church is a little bit different than most. For our Wednesday night programming, we run a van ministry. So we actually take like big 15-passenger vans out into the community and pick up kids and youth from all different walks of life. I mean, we've got kids who may not have food on the table at home, or running water, or their parents aren't in the picture, or they just watch somebody get killed during a drug deal.
Wow.
So we have a wide array of different kinds of students in our program, because our church kids come to our programming too. So we have some kids that, you know, have been born in the church and have known Jesus since they were babies, and then these other kids that come on our vans. So we get to see a lot of spiritual growth, because you can't... You can't pick up those kids and not see some kind of change, right? When you're bringing them to church, we're feeding them a meal, we're giving them Jesus, we're loving on them. Some of these kids have never seen love from an adult before until they get to church. Our last Wednesday night of the school year, we had 7 baptisms and 6 salvations, and it was all kids and youth. There was no adults. It was just our students. Which was so impactful, even for our adult volunteers, being able to see these kids who had every reason in the book to deny Jesus, every reason in the book to turn and run towards the world, because that's what everybody else is doing in their community.
Yeah.
just saying, you know what? No, I want to be like Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want to show my parents who Jesus is and how much he loves me and how much he loves them. It's life changing for sure.
Wow. You know, I love that so much, because one of the things that we've actually been really praying about, and the Lord's been speaking to us here at this ministry, here at Box 2 Radio, but also at Bethel, is how the Great Commission was always go. It was never come to me. Like mm-hmm. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are, you know, weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But right. He went out. And he sent the disciples out. And for some reason in the church, for a season, it was like, I think that going wasn't happening as much as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I love to see churches who are going and who are taking the gospel out and realizing that we are called to, the church is called to take care of the widows and the orphans. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of these children, even if they aren't technically orphans and they still have their parents, a lot of them are probably in that orphan category with their parents not really being their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see that. And you know, you all hit it right there with the testimonies of 6 salvations and baptisms, 7. I can't remember the number you said.
7 baptisms and 6 salvations on our final Wednesday night of the school year.
Wow. So what are those age ranges for your all's program?
Yeah, so Ashley takes care of anything from preschool, potty trained preschool, birth to fifth grade, and then I take anywhere from 6th grade to 12th grade.
Wow. That's covering all the bases. And how old do you know about, like, the age ranges of those kids who got saved and baptized?
My youngest one was a first grader. She was 7 years old.
Oh, that's my girl. I was a young one too. Yeah.
Our oldest was a 8th grader in middle school.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So
that young generation.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And this was another point that I was going to bring up, actually, is are you all seeing just the difference in this generation? Like, have your eyes been opened up even more to, like, I just feel like there's something different in this generation. Like, I know the Lord has a plan, like, and I think mm-hmm. he has something special prepared for this generation of youth, but also just the attack and just the obstacles that they are facing with the age of technology that we're in, and just so many things at their fingertips that we didn't have at our fingertips when we were youth. I mean,
the enemy is trying so hard to distract this next generation, because he knows how powerful this next generation can be for the kingdom. And so he's trying everything in his power through distraction with technology, like you said, with distractions of they can search anything on the internet that they want to, with home life, to parents, to influencers, to you name it. The world is full of distraction. And even from the age gap, I'm 26 years old. It's not that big of a gap what they're going through right now, but the gap of when I was in high school and middle school to what they're doing is just unbelievable, what they actually have to go through and the challenges and culture they have to go through. And so, it's very eye-opening when you get to see it in a whole new light.
Yeah.
You're going to the houses, you're seeing the obstacles, you're hearing it from them, from their mouth, of what they actually go through, and it's quite eye-opening. And so hitting those challenging cultural topics, hitting those difficult situations, and being able to talk through those things and stand on truth, even though the situations are difficult to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, even their vocabulary, compared to, like, when we were kids, you know, we thought there were so many words that were such bad words, like stupid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially if you grew up in a family of full-time ministers.
Yes, yes. But I have kids, I mean, kindergartners, that come in blasting the F word, or will just call a kid some word that I don't even know. I have to go Google later and find out that it's...
Yeah, like, doesn't that make you feel old?
Yeah,
it makes me, but I'm like, we're not old though, so it's sad because it shows how young it's getting the yeah. For me, I see the root of this as perversion. I see how perversion has manifested in so many different ways. And I think that, you know, this is kind of getting to the nitty gritties this morning, but we're seeing pornography younger and younger and younger affect these kids. And I think, you know, guarding their purity and continuing to teach them purity and just being somebody who's pure and letting your life be the Bible that they're able to read and understand, as well as teaching them the Bible. I'm very thankful for what you guys are doing, because I don't know about you all, but that's one of the things that, like, bring up that righteous anger in me, is the exposure and the sexualization of children at such young ages in our culture.
Yeah, I think that's what's so hard, too, with the kids that we serve. Because we've got kids whose parents watch it with them. The parents are the ones showing them pornography. Or their parents are having sexual relations in front of their children, out in the open. Like, it's not hidden from a lot of these kids. A lot of our students have been assaulted by family members or people within their neighborhood.
Wow.
So it's even, like, they are being destroyed by the people in their community or in their household.
That they're supposed to be able to trust.
It's not necessarily even them seeking it out.
Yeah.
It's being presented towards them and at them. And so then having to come back and re-explain how that's not okay and what God really has in store for them and what the beauty of sex is meant for in marriage and trying to re-teach all of that, because nobody else has done that, and they've just taken advantage of a child. That's so hard, but that's what we deal with on a daily basis. That's our community. Those are our kids.
Wow.
It takes an approach of, I want to theme it as raw. It almost takes a raw type of love, a raw type of grace, a raw type of truth that we teach and we directly, I guess, teach these kids. Is, you know, we hit the tough subjects. We talk about these things, and we don't sugarcoat the words. We didn't say Jesus was hurt badly. We said Jesus was, there's a spear in his side. He was spat on. He had a crown of thorns on his head.
Yeah.
And so, like, real authentic love, this is what Jesus did for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think evangelism in the local church is so important, especially in these day of age of the Great Commission. Go, therefore, to all nations. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important as a local church, no matter what the size is that concept of, hey, let's go get the kids. Let's go to the families. Let's not just sit here and twiddle our thumbs and wait on families to come. Let's go and just share the good news of Jesus Christ to these families to give them a hope, their living hope, you know. And so that's why we love what we do. It's not only a job, it's a calling. It's an anointment and an appointment to serve the kingdom.
Amen.
And the way that I kind of described it in the fall, which just resonates so much now too, is that God sometimes has you fish in the dirtiest of ponds. But sometimes those are the biggest fish to catch. And so we're just going to go fishing. And that's what we're called to do.
Be fishers of men. Wow. That. I just love this, and I'm probably going to bring this around to back to the family, because I'm so passionate about seeing revival in families, because, you know, you all see this firsthand that when the families are healthy, it's saving so much of this healing and, onion peeled back layer by layer that oftentimes prevents kids from even getting to the point where they're open to salvation or open to growing in the Lord. And so when there's healthy families that are discipling their kids, and no one is perfect, we're all learning, we're all growing, but I'm just believing for a revival in families and new families. I believe that the ones who the Lord is raising up to raise families, new young parents, new married couples, that the Lord is wanting to establish his culture, and he's not done yet. Like, it's like these things, when we let them over, when we think about the issue and think about what Satan is doing only, then it's so overwhelming. But once we see the light of, we have the power, like the church has the power to change and shift all of this. And it just takes more labors. I mean, what Jesus said, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And yep. And so it's time to pray for the more laborers to rise up and more parents to rise up and decide to not just let the iPads raise their kids, but, and that's talking to Christians too, because right. you know, we see it in churches. But we need it, and it's not just, we need these families for the community, for these other kids, for these other families that need right. an example, these other right. kids that never got an opportunity. They didn't get to choose what family they were born into.
Right. And,
you know, so those of us that are in the church, we get to train up our child in the way that they should go so that they won't depart from it. And yeah. so I wanted to ask you all, how has this, how has working in, with the kids, working in youth, kind of, and we have like 6 minutes left, but how has this kind of changed and like grown you when thinking about your all's future family, if you're planning on that? I don't want to assume, but if you plan to raise a family to be parents.
Yeah, we've definitely had our eyes opened to a lot. Our church is different than most, not only with just our Wednesday nights, but just even our Sunday mornings is a big outreach kind of program. So we see a lot and hear a lot about how parents wish that they did something different with their child, or as these now adults are growing up and have lived through drug addiction or alcoholism, how they wish that things were different in their childhood. So I think we both are kind of taking all of that advice and that information and just kind of applying and figuring out, hey, do we really want to send our kids to public school? Is that yeah. a safe space for them to still walk the walk with Jesus and not be influenced by yeah. the evil in this world? Do we want to allow our kids to have sleepovers at friends' houses?
Yeah.
Because we've got so many kids that's where abuse starts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of opened our eyes to some of the evil that's in this world and how we are going to have to, as parents in the future, really, really fight for our kids.
Take a stand. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that you have to do as parents to protect your family. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we've learned is how much work that actually is going to take on our part
yeah.
because it's so important.
Yeah. Amen.
I
and
think it, another thing
it's the greatest blessing.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's just, I was just saying it's one of the, you know, it says that that their children are a heritage of the Lord.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jared.
I just wanted to chime in on that because I agree with everything she said. But the big thing that I've learned is there's no such thing as a perfect parent. But there is guidelines. There are standards. There is something to stand on as you are a parent. So will my kid mess up? Absolutely. Yeah. But to teach them, to disciple them, to not just give my kid to a Sunday school teacher and that's it for the week. I don't want to be I'll give the Lord my earnings and my attention on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I'm off doing other things. I want to do a 7 day a week, you know, focus on Christ. And, I think that's important when you disciple your kids, you teach them, you grow them, they learn. And one of the things I've learned is those eyes are always watching.
Yeah.
They're always watching the actions that we do, how we talk to each other. And I think the perfect example of, that you can present is worshiping in church on a Sunday morning, seeing you worship God, because
mm-hmm.
Those eyes are always watching. And so as we start our family at some point in time, whenever God wants us to do that, I think that's one of the most important things is continually show your kids how you can worship our King.
Amen.
And so I recommend to all the people listening and watching as well.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's turning around for the glory of God. And I believe that that the more of us that just wake up to this, and take a stand, we're going to start to see a lot of victories, because we already have the victory. We literally, we already have the answer, but we just have to go and give it to people. And give it to our children. So I love this. Thank you all so much for coming on. I do want to ask, if you all have any events coming up, like VBS or anything, go ahead and announce that, because I know we're all the way over here in, like, the Grayson County, Breckenridge County area. So we're a ways off, but we actually have a radio signal that reaches really close to Campbellsville. So there could be people tuned in that are actually close to you all on the radio. So go ahead and announce just those dates, if there's any VBS or just any opportunities for the kids to come to your program at Elkhorn Baptist.
Absolutely. We definitely have two things that we'd love to say just for the summers that are coming up. Those are the easiest things to remember, of course, with as you're driving and things like that. But every Wednesday night this summer, we are doing things with our community, with our kids. All are welcome to it. So every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we're bringing the vans out, all that kind of stuff. We're going to Miller Park this week. We're going to have a hangout night. We're going to have free food, hot dogs, hamburgers, games, basketball, cornhole, you name it. It's going to be awesome. So that is our big thing throughout the summer for June and July.
We also have, for 4th of July, July 3rd and 4th, our Family Fun Zone. We partner with the city of Campbellsville and have bounce houses and face painting and crafts and food and all kinds of stuff out on Main Street for our Family Fun Zone that's organized with the city. That is July 3rd and 4th.
Wow, that sounds so awesome. And just again, thank you guys so much for coming on. We have to catch up, but it's been an honor and a blessing. So I will talk to you guys hopefully soon. And thank you again for I'm so blessed to hear what you guys are doing for the body of Christ.
Thanks for having us, Hannah.
Yes.
Thank you.
See you guys.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. Well, we are out of time, literally out of time. So thank you guys for tuning in, listening. We love our listeners, and we will be back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.